Excellent. An ale for me. And for my officers. In fact, ales for everyone.
Oh, thank you. Turn backwards. Rick and work. And Will. Sometimes Demma.
Oh, yes.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Turn Backward, a Star Trek podcast from Nottingham in England. I'm Rick Palmer. And I'm joined to my left by Will Turland.
Greetings.
To my front by Rick Everson.
Hello.
And to my northwest by the uninvited guest, the voice in the darkness, long lost friend, and friend to the Jackdaws, Gemma Turland.
I love Jackdaws.
They don't love you.
They will.
I sensed it.
Thank you.
I genuinely.
I do give off that smell.
I'm not being funny. I genuinely thought that in my head to describe you. Anyway, this episode we are going to be discussing an episode of Voyager from season 6 called The Voyager Conspiracy. Now I will admit, front and center, I love conspiracies.
No.
Be they like conspiracies which are pretty much proven, like the assassination of JFK, to ones which are a bit kind of up in the air, like
it's proven he was killed.
The United States they have admitted that there was a conspiracy to kill JFK
by the man who killed him.
No. The Warren Commission believe that they already knew that. Anyway, the Warren Commission already believe that Lee Harvey Oswald had killed JFK, but there was an investigation into that assassination, and that led to and now the U.S. government has agreed that there was a conspiracy to kill JFK. Just that it was Lee Harvey Oswald. Rather than a nebulous group of people.
Which episode of Voyager did this happen on?
Anyway, so I'm sorry. Anyway. So the Voyager Conspiracy is an episode from season 6. It's a 7 heavy episode. It begins with like 7's kind of modified their alcove with a cortical processing subunit.
Yeah.
Which none of us have, if only.
I do.
And you do?
I don't use it.
But, yeah, and so 7 begins downloading data from kind of the last 6 months of like mission reports, essentially, isn't it? And initially it yields results because she identifies there's been like an energy fluctuation in the ship's systems caused by some photonic fleas.
I quite like in this sequence we get a bit of a flashback to when we discover the photonic fleas. There's a bit of handheld camera going on there. It's a little bit unusual for Voyager. It's pretty distinctive. I like that. That was cool.
It also narrows it down that, once again, Neelix brings on some food, causes some trouble.
Yeah.
Just like the cheese that infected the gel packs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Neelix,
yeah.
Can you bring on some food that isn't infested with something?
Yeah, no.
It's tradition.
What is tradition?
There is no tradition, Mr. Neelix.
So, yeah. And there's also some pretty cool, there's a lot of nerdy stuff going on. Like Chakotay wants to go and check out a nebula.
He's so into that nebula.
He's really into like a Class K nebula.
He's got a massive boner for that nebula, hasn't he?
Yeah. And then
not on they?
I think they detect like some kind of energy signature in space, 10 light years away, and Voyager, and Janeway decides to go and investigate that.
And then everyone's like, Chakotay's
not going to get to check out that K nebula.
And Janeway's like, really? Fuck off, I'm the captain.
But it turns out they meet this. They find this device in space, and it's a catapult.
Yes.
Run by this alien.
Called Tash.
Called Tash.
He's quite charismatic.
He's a nice guy. Sadly, he doesn't seem to have a lot of facial hair for someone called Tash.
Yeah.
No.
It's upsetting, irony. Isn't it?
So his story is essentially that he was investigating a wormhole. The wormhole kind of collapsed while he was in it, and he got left in the Delta Quadrant. And he kind of built this catapult.
Yes, in an attempt to fling himself back home.
And it focuses gravitons. You put your ship in the middle of this circle, and it focuses gravitons on you, and then it puts a graviton field on you, and then pushes you into null space. And I wrote down null space, which I guess is like subspace or something.
Rick
like.
Keeps looking at me for confirmation. I'm not sat here with a science uniform on.
But you're the most knowledgeable.
Oh, wait, I actually am.
I feel like you're the most knowledgeable of all of us. So I feel like I can...
In Star Trek, by the way, don't think that I have actual knowledge beyond that.
I never thought that. Don't
and,
worry.
And, but it's at this point, there's a point where... His device isn't quite working quite right, so they have to help him because they think they can use it. And at this point, the seven downloading information and this device story merge, and that kind of sets Seven up on her conspiratorial descent.
Yeah. Yeah, and she's absorbing so much information from the old alcove that. She's taking two and two, and she's making 25 out of it.
Yeah, I would say in terms of conspiracies, this is a thing where you have to kind of... The thing about conspiracies is that you have to kind of keep a relatively even mind about it. Like you have to understand, in the real world, you have to understand that governments do things that they don't tell people about. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that they're keeping secrets. It's just that that's the way... Government works.
Mm.
In general, people do things that they don't
tell
people about, but they're not intentionally keeping secrets. It's just, it's a function of governance.
Mm. It's not so dissimilar to a business not wanting to broadcast, you know, if they're making massive redundancies.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Where's that coming? Yeah.
Well, that's something that's happened in our workplace recently.
No.
And if it were, I certainly wouldn't.
We shouldn't talk about
it.
Oh, yeah, we can't talk about it.
But it hasn't happened, so it's fine.
What hasn't happened?
I don't know.
Our listeners don't necessarily even know where you work.
Or care about anything that we say.
That's probably a more important point.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
So, what we're saying, Seven has modified her alcove.
Yes.
She's now got a Netflix account set up. She's binged the entirety of Voyager into it. And she's coming up with crazy fan theories.
But to be fair,
because she puts the
this conspiracy starts off at a reasonable point, which I think is another thing about conspiracies.
Mm.
This, to be fair to this episode, it does describe how a conspiracy can get out of hand because it starts off at a reasonable point and descends into mad speculation. Speculation is the enemy of a good conspiracy.
Because she puts on a video of the Voyager pilot, and she watches.
What? So there's the catapult built by this nice by Tash has a tetrion emitter.
Yes,
tetrion reactor.
Tetrion reactor, and this conspiracy starts because it seems very similar to the tetrion reactor that the caretaker has.
Yes,
but he never denies that, does he? He just says that he. Got one,
but he was deliberately keeping that
one.
From him.
Wasn't
he?
He says that Voyager offers to send a crew over to repair it. And he says,
No, because
he certainly doesn't want to advertise it because it's advanced tech that someone might try and forcibly steal from it.
There's a tetrion reactor powering your catapult. You didn't want us to find it, did you? Unless you answer my questions, I'll resume course, and you can ask somebody else for help.
I acquired the Tetrion reactor at great cost. This territory is full of species who would do anything for such advanced technology, including steal it.
Which you can kind of understand.
And this leads Seven down. Her evidence is pretty legitimate for a while. There's a bit where there are some things that she brings up which are never ever said to be wrong, that do seem conspiratorial. Like, there's the, like, Voyager has, it turns out, so it kind of comes down to a point where Janeway agrees to destroy the array, the caretaker's array, right? And it gets destroyed with some tri-cobalt devices.
Yeah.
Tuvok gives it like an overly powerful yield.
Yeah.
And at the same time, there's a cloak ship with a tractor beam,
which seems to be a fact.
Which is a fact. And I'm going to say, it's never resolved.
No. And we see that on screen. We see.
And nobody questions that is what it is.
Pauses the DVD, and you can see there's like a little looks like a tractor beam.
I actually raised this on Twitter the other day after watching it, and no one's answered.
No one can. No. That's because it's a conspiracy, and no one's allowed to answer. If they did,
so yeah. So up until this, well, the whole episode I really like, but up until this point, I do think that this is the kind of investigation that leads to a conspiracy, because often conspiracies have, there's like a legitimate point to them, but when they get lost is when they kind of, like I said before, like it's too much speculation. You attribute too much to something based on an opinion rather than fact. And this is where this goes, because it ends up with Seven kind of taking Chakotay and Janeway into her confidence separately with the same information.
But sort of interpreted differently.
Doesn't
it? Which is interesting.
He's able to interpret it one way that the Marquis are responsible for this sinister conspiracy, and the other way that Starfleet are.
So one is like a Federation conspiracy to invade the Delta Quadrant. Mm. One is another for to use the catapult to resurrect the Marquis.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, so. And then she shifts into another one where the whole thing was a Starfleet operation to capture a Borg drone. But as you say, the speculation part, because I think her first one about the photonic fleas, which turns out to be correct, she's still chided by Tuvok for, you know, an element of speculation to that.
Logical, in order to
set up the fact that she is capable of putting all this data together and finding a fact.
I think in the story you need to have a win so that you can take what she's saying.
It gives her credence, doesn't it?
Yeah.
However, the main problem with the episode is that at no point as a viewer do you believe that she's right. There's no point when you think, hang on, maybe she's got a point. And there's no point, as soon as she goes to both Janeway and Chakotay.
I think as soon as she starts implicating Janeway in a Starfleet part, I think the problem is I think that could have been convincing in season one, when you didn't know Janeway as well, or you didn't know Chakotay as well, and that would have played better in season one. But by the time you get to season six, as soon as she starts accusing Janeway of some kind of Starfleet conspiracy, you're just like, wait a minute, no, there's no way.
Mm.
And I think as a viewer, you're thinking, how's this episode going to end? Is it going to end up that Seven is right, Janeway's
been there's a scene where both Chakotay and Janeway have phases on their heads.
I think that's what the story's about. It's not that we're supposed to think that, and I think actually one of the things in this episode is interesting is the Janeway Chakotay relationship, because it's kind of quite nicely done.
But they're also led to a point where they do leap to that, and then they talk to each other.
And it's like, oh, of course, okay, silly Seven.
Seven uses Seven kind of
leap to it, and then they immediately give it up.
And it raises the question, why do these people who have dinner together not talk to each other a bit more often?
Yeah. Seven uses kind of evidence about the Federation and the Cardassians to kind of provoke Chakotay, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. Would Chakotay be that provocable after 6 years?
Well, it's kind of interesting that when you look at Voyager, the whole Starfleet Maquis conflict thing that they were supposed to be building the series upon fizzled out to nothing very, very quickly.
Mm. Yeah.
And then you got this story, it kind of suggests that it's still there in the back of their minds, so there's still that little bit that they're willing, both of them are willing to believe.
Episodes where they play on that are great. There's that episode where there's that guy who has he's prompted people with a command.
Yes.
Is that I think we touched on that in our Tuvok podcast. Is that right? Is it a season 7 episode?
I think so. I can't remember the name of it.
But there's sort of like a...
But at least with that one, there was inbuilt commands from a long time ago. And it was kind of like an overriding mental compulsion that was programmed. Whereas this, I feel, is a bit of a... You're kind of supposed to believe that even though they've had all this working relationship for 6 years, they still have this little bit of mistrust in the Maquis Starfleet relationship that can flare up in the right condition. I don't buy it.
Yeah.
No, I don't. But again, I think in season one, I think I would have bought it if they hadn't been together for all that time. Say this came at a mid-season point. Obviously, Seven wouldn't have been there in season one.
No.
But then I think Janeway and Chakotay would be in a place where they wouldn't yet fully trust each other. But I think by season six, they do. They've been through enough that they wouldn't be.
Yeah, and also there's things about like Tuvok setting the charge of the tri-cobalt torpedoes too high as well. Mm. Like, again, like you're right. Like, that had been earlier on, then maybe that would have.
He was looking to guarantee complete destruction. Mm. I'm taking Tuvok's word on this because I will not hear a word.
But there is a cloaked ship with a tractor beam there. That's not fake.
Yeah, and you see that. And that isn't fully.
That was the thing I got from it.
What is that about? There's visual record. Everyone saw it.
But then again, that could have been something that someone with some sort of ability to go back in time and be there.
Maybe they left. Maybe
that.
I thought maybe
a completely different story. That's nothing to do with them.
I thought maybe that was a clever way to say that there was something. There was a conspiracy, but they never. They never looked at it. The thing that was a conspiracy, they missed. It
was so well done.
And also maybe it's a thing that they thought they could explore in a later episode, and then they never did.
Because I thought of a number of different ways I think it could have worked a little better. Like, my number one thing was set it in season one when you maybe would have taken the Janeway Chakotay doubting each other thing seriously. Or maybe another thing, like, I was kind of expecting that you'd get to the end of the episode and you'd maybe just get just a little hint that perhaps one of the theories that Seven came up with had some credence to it. Yeah. Like, there could have just been a little thing where you just saw Janeway just deleting a few files from her log, or Just something like that. I think could have solved the episode.
Well, someone probably wanted the Tetron device. I think that might be true, but who?
Or even if they'd have made this episode a two-parter or something to at least let the tension on the crew play out a bit, because you got was poor old Harry Kim getting a brush up.
That's a great scene.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Harry
harsh.
Kim comes into engineering and they're like, fuck off, Harry. He's like, oh, and he goes off crying. That literally happens. That's how I remember it.
Captain asked me to work with you on the shields. That won't be necessary, Ensign.
Oh, I don't mind. You know how eager she is to make that jump.
Harry, we're fine here.
Too many cooks, Harry. You know how it is. We'll let you know when we're done.
Felt for Harry, and that's it. But it did make me think, maybe this could have worked better if it had maybe bringing in more crew members. Wouldn't it have been interesting if we'd have had like the crew split between which like conspiracy theory was working, or even could it have worked better if we had instead of Chakotay and Janeway, if we had characters that we hadn't seen before on Voyager, and therefore maybe we would
like a Lower Decks kind of thing.
Yeah, and then maybe we'd think, okay, yeah, this conspiracy could be bang on because we don't know the integrity of these characters. But that being said, I didn't love this episode, but there's some. That being said, there's some nice Janeway Chakotay stuff in this episode. I liked the scenes that they had together, and it just made me think, if only Janeway and Chakotay got together. Like they share some nice scenes together dinner.
There's definitely that kind of feeling, I think, before Seven arrives. There's a few episodes where they. Yeah. There's that episode where they're stranded on that planet because they have.
I think that's the linchpin of the Chakotay Janeway shipping that occurs.
But in this, they have some romantic dinners. You know, the lights are dimmed. They've got they've got some candlelight. There's a bit of a
Chakotay's nerding out about that Class K nebula. He wants to jizz all over.
There's an amusing bit where Janeway gets
sensor scans, I hope.
Janeway gets a warning from the computer about how the plate is too hot.
Warning, plate is hot.
Now you tell me.
Which I liked. That tickled me. I don't know why. I was just like, it was good that the computer tells them the plate's hot.
Why couldn't replicate a reasonable temperature plate?
Yeah, why would it replicate something that's dangerous to a human
hand? Because you asked for authenticity and that's what you get.
Well, she did say that, yes. It's
go for authenticity and what do you get? Second degree burns.
Yeah. It's like that thing in Annie Hall with the lobsters, right? Like it's that kind of can't cook lobsters. Can't cook lobsters.
Error.
Can't cook lobsters.
Plate is too hot. Warning. Can't cook lobsters. That doesn't happen in Annie Hall. Annie Hall is set. There isn't a computer in Annie Hall that says that, but... Yeah.
I got no idea what you're on about now.
Man, you should watch Annie Hall.
It's a great film.
It's a brilliant romantic. It's Woody Allen's best film.
I had to watch Annie this afternoon. Not Hall, just Annie. Long story. Anyway, what were we saying? So yes, there is some great character moments. I think Chakotay and Janeway having these dinners is quite a nice thing, and it sort of brings a little bit more to their relationship. There might have been other places in the series if you'd placed this, it could have worked better. I think Scorpion strained their relationship a bit, and maybe if around this time it could have worked
a bit better.
Yeah, imagine if this had come right after Scorpion, that could have sold it.
I really enjoy the notion, because the Seven trawls through a whole bunch of Voyager's backstory stuff. And a lot of it is stuff that we know of, and that's always exciting to really reference back to these, and then just examine them in a new light. And it's quite a fun thing to do.
Yeah, I like that. I like her going back through her DVD collection and revisiting all the Voyager.
That
was quite nice.
I think Seven is a pretty good conspiracy theorist in that she takes some things too literally, and also kind of. Her viewpoint is from the point of believing that there is some kind of plot, a lot of conspiracy theories have a lot of weight to them. There's a lot of evidence, but the thing is the ones that go too far are usually the ones that think that there is some kind of scheming plan against that person, rather than the machinations of an organisation require that they do things that they don't tell people about. And in my experience, that's where a lot of conspiracies come from. There's a great episode, there's a great series called Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura, who he's the guy from Predator. he's the guy.
Right.
He's the guy with the moustache. He's the sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yes. Yeah.
And he later went on to be governor of Minnesota.
Brilliant.
So anyway, in this series he exposes a few conspiracy or investigates them. That's very much from the point of view that there's plans against people. So there was a bit where they were investigating why there were these secret underground government facilities, underground bases that the U.S. government had built, and they had built them and they went around these things and they're huge, but that's probably because I guess the U.S. government has envisioned a scenario where perhaps they're invaded or there's a disaster.
Don't all governments have
exactly? Yeah. So underground bases for a conspiracy theorist means that they're envisioning a time when the elite are going to sequester themselves underground and leave the rest of us to be annihilated. Maybe they are, but probably it's a scenario where America is attacked or something. And That's what I got from that series is that there is truth to conspiracies, but you have to kind of just try and keep just keep it as rational as mind as you can until the point that you probably can't, and then at least you've tried. That's what I do anyway.
There are conspiracies, but have a level head.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
But there was a plot to kill JFK. I'm just going to say it right now. There was.
It worked out quite well.
I can't counter that with anything because I don't know. But I get but in this episode seven takes all that information, and for me, an element I like about this episode is that it does have an element of one of my favourite tropes. It's like one person going crazy. And it fulfills a lot of that.
Did you pick this episode in your trope?
No, because it would have worked. Because it would have made sense to explain my trope.
Oh yeah.
If you remember, if you'd like to revisit, listeners, our episode where I look at my trope about main characters going crazy. I didn't pick any episodes where that actually happened.
Yeah, we did manage to find
that. This episode would have worked.
I think it takes a certain talent to do that.
Definitely, I think. Yeah, I mean, by certain, you may mean
wrong.
Wrong. I think that's it. But this episode actually kind of fits because certainly towards the end of the episode, Seven takes off in a is it a runabout? Is it Delta
Flyer?
No, it's a Delta Flyer. And Voyager fire on her. They don't hit her. But there's a point where she's completely separate from the rest of the crew, and she's kind of lost it. She's shouting at Naomi Wildman about some crazy theories. And
don't have time for Coruscant.
Don't have time to visit the central planet of the Republic in Star Wars. And that's Coruscant. But yeah, that does kind of fit my trope in that way, that the Seven's kind of losing it and she's distanced from everyone else. And but I kind of like the quite sappy bit where Janeway talks to her about times where they've bonded.
A conspiracy of Janeway liking Seven.
Yeah.
The conspiracy of being your friend.
Well, there's some lovely mother and daughter stuff going on there, because it does remind me of some of the conversations I've had with my 5-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
Where you say, look.
Because she's got that conspiracy theory about how we were trying to, trying to get a ball drone back.
Then we had to go through, we had to. You get in the car. With
conspiracy theory that school is bad.
Yeah. But geez, when they're just, they've got into their heads that they're right, and there's, Yeah, nothing you say, even though you're the parent.
I don't know where
just,
she gets that from.
And you just want to help them, and if you just listen to me, I will help you, and then not listening, and it's just...
5-year-olds don't think that way, though.
You should, talk to people that think that the moon isn't real.
I should try. And that the earth is flat.
Hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, there definitely is a bit of a mother-daughter relationship between Janeway and Seven.
Yeah,
this episode does tap into that. Mm. Yeah, I agree with that. And I kind of like that Janeway wins her over with talking. And then actually, you kind of think maybe something's going to go bad with an alien guy that they meet, and actually maybe that would have added a bit more drama to the episode.
That's another conspiratorial thing where you don't trust people, because of a little thing, a little suggestion. This episode really does kind of tie into that kind of conspiratorial thinking really well, I would say, in terms of like a little thing can completely flip your position on something.
Flip your brain box.
If you're not careful.
I quite like that alien dude turned out to be pretty legit.
And he was alright in the end.
He goes off and he there's that scene where he uses the catapult and you think, oh, what's going to happen? Is he going to explode? Or is Seven going to have done something to the thing? No, it just works. Okay, fine. that's the end of that then. He's gone.
I have a question about the end. When Janeway talks Seven round and convinces her that everyone's friendly, and Seven drops the force field and agrees, and so then Janeway contacts Voyager and has the two of them beamed out.
Delta Flyer to Voyager. Two to beam out.
Why did she have them beamed out? Why didn't she just turn the shuttle round?
Oh, yeah, that's a good
point. What happened to the shuttle?
Did it just keep going? Did someone decide to beam Tom Paris on board so he could steer it back to Voyager?
Maybe Tom Paris has set something up so that
he's the only one who can
drive it, because...
We're crying. Too much crying is going on.
I don't understand why they have to beam out when
they
drive
it back.
Because
that would be, that might be quite an awkward journey home. It's that... So...
Oh, okay. Did you see the game the other night? Seven.
Hey, I'll give you some information about how Paul McCartney really died, and the Paul McCartney we know now is a fake Paul McCartney.
Is that you saying that as a character?
Well, there is a conspiracy theory that Paul McCartney died and was replaced by a fake Paul McCartney.
This doesn't surprise me.
Also, the moon landing footage was fake.
Oh, I hate that theory.
I'm not
convinced by
that. I think maybe we went to the moon, but the footage is fake. I think we went to the moon, but maybe it was irradiated and we had to have that stock Stanley Kubrick stuff.
It could be. I like.
I'm not saying we didn't go to the moon. I think we did, but I think perhaps they made that.
You just want the best of both worlds, don't you? You want everything. That's, you want your conspiracy theory,
part one and part two,
and you want the fact that we went to the moon.
Wait a minute, that seems like I can't win. Like, I'm trying to be like a slightly rational conspiracy theorist. No, I don't know. I want the moon landing footage to be real, but I can see that maybe it wasn't able to make it.
The question is, then why does it matter? If we did go to the moon, why does it matter that it wasn't real? It's like the people who write in about these natural history programs and say, oh, that was, they cut those scenes together and it wasn't the real lizard that was in the first bit.
I mean, I guess it was the height, it was still when the Cold War was going on, and getting to the moon was a big deal and proving it was a huge deal. So if you did film legitimate footage and it went wrong and you didn't have it, it's good to have that backup.
Yeah,
but and you'd have to get Stanley Kubrick to make it a couple of years in advance because he doesn't do anything quickly.
No, so, he does 100 takes of every flipping.
So
scene,
yeah, apparently. So that's a good reason for him not of doing it if they thought they did it quickly. So I don't know. I like to think that it's genuine, but if it's not, then maybe he did do it. But I do think we went to the moon.
Yeah.
I firmly believe we did. I don't think any conspiracy theorist say we didn't. I'm just trying to shit on the biggest achievement of human ingenuity ever.
Yeah, well, it's the same people who say we didn't build the pyramids and we didn't do anything. Mm.
No, we did. Yeah. That's a good point. Like,
what
we
sad outlook on life.
Do you know what?
But it's also
some awesome stuff because we didn't sit at home coming up fucking conspiracy theories. It got off our asses and did some
shit. That whole point about the pyramids comes from a point that this is the high point of building stuff. Like, this is the zenith of building big buildings.
If you've got enough throw away human life, you can do anything you like.
Or if you just, I don't think the pyramids were built by slaves. I think they were built by people that genuinely wanted to build something.
No,
I don't think they were. There's not a lot of evidence to suggest they were built by slaves.
Bringing it back to Star Trek. Was that episode of Voyager where? Do you remember that episode of Voyager where they uncover what is it they uncover? Like, it's some kind of a thing.
Like a beacon. Like a, yes. Like a beacon that makes them have war memories.
That's it. Oh, it's amazing that you got what I was saying from the vaguest description that I've ever given of any episode. But
because that obelisk seems kind of like ancient and
yes,
stuff.
Yes, that is exactly
what
I was thinking.
Pretty much the walking embodiment of Memory Alpha.
But that's a really interesting episode of Voyager where they're all experiencing fake memories of a war that they went
into. It's the worst kind of war memorial, or the best kind, I guess.
it's the best kind,
I guess, because it makes you realise the horror of war.
I think there's the issue of consent around it.
No one wants
memories like that thrust into their head without warning.
You should give a little.
If you want to understand the nature of it and what happened, yeah, that's fine. But
which
you need to know
what they do, of course, in the end.
Yeah, because they put a big old warning buoy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like the Voyager conspiracy a lot. It's a fun episode. I think it does a good job of depicting the evolution of a conspiracy from a relatively rational point to blatant speculation.
It's a really fun story idea, I think. It's just like taking the history of the show and just sort of spinning it in different lights.
Yeah.
And then running letting the characters run with that a little bit. I think it's a lot of fun. It's good.
I don't think it's very good. I think it falls at the basic hurdle of failing to engage the viewer because immediately you just don't buy the idea of Janeway or the Janeway or Chakotay conspiracy.
What about the hidden craft with the tractor beam? That's never explained.
That's the point, though, isn't it? That they never in Voyager, once again, something happens, there is no consequence. So this could have been a beautiful, I don't know, lead on to a longer storyline.
That's a good point.
A two-parter at the very least.
Mm. Maybe it's like a temporal vessel that's doing something.
I mean, I do enjoy it, but I do see that what you're saying about stretching the credibility in terms of the characters.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
It does frustrate me that tractor beam is never explained.
But coming back a little way, I can't hate this episode. It's fun. It's an episode of Voyager. I like the characters. It taps into my trope of a main character kind of losing it and having to deal with that.
She was right, and then she lost it.
But I don't think it's a I don't think it's a great one, but it's fine. I think something Voyager does quite well is that even in episodes that don't particularly grab you, it still manages to be endearing in some way, and that's maybe a bit of a trope of Star Trek as well, that even in episodes you don't find particularly strong, it's very difficult to actually dislike it.
Maybe they should have an episode where Seven realizes that the moon is actually a spaceship that's been in the solar system for millions of years.
Or an egg.
And it's positioned exactly in the right place to cause eclipses and things, to create religions and, you know, enslave mankind.
Is this what you believe?
No. Well, I...
I think maybe
there is something
just
on the moon.
I think maybe
they found something on the moon, and that's why we've not been back.
No, it's because people ran out of money.
I don't know.
Got waylaid by other things. See, that this is the thing. That this is the thing with conspiracy theories. Conspiracy theories are made by people who assume that the world is run by someone, and that people are in charge, and that everything is planned out. It isn't. It's chaos. It's absolute bloody chaos, and everyone is just trying to get through the next day. And that is what the world is like.
But
nobody
people,
is
but,
in
but,
charge.
But any person, any person's,
yeah,
any
are,
person's
are,
inter-
like say,
but any person's
with,
interpretation
thing with
of
world. Yeah, there was. There are conspiracies.
Any person's interpretation of the world
extent,
is based on information that they're given from an outside source.
But the reason why we haven't been to the moon is because people got distracted, people lost interest, people lost money.
We did go to the moon. We just haven't been back.
Maybe we didn't go back. In all honesty, that's the point, that people conspiracy theories assume that life is more, I don't know, exciting. Well, it isn't more, you know, life isn't not exciting. It's just not.
I have to admit, I agree with you about the moon. Nobody is really in charge. In all honesty,
Look at who's in charge in certain countries right now.
I agree with you.
And yet those countries haven't just burst into flames automatically. Then you can see that everyone just footles along.
Mm. I have to admit, I agree with you in general that I don't know about the moon. I think probably we didn't go to the moon because there's not enough money, but. I think a lot of the information that people base their theories on is information that is given to them through reliable sources. I'm not sure that people kind of investigate themselves in terms of things. And I think there is a certain amount of leeway out there in terms of the world that we live in. I think it's just up to people to kind of try and investigate that for themselves, and try and keep a certain amount of rationality. I think this is getting away from the episode. But I do think that the history of our world is probably weirder and different to what we're told, but in a way that I think that isn't bizarre. I think it's just. I really hope that we can, that people are allowed to find that out for themselves.
Well, I can't argue against that.
I think that brings us to the end of our podcast. It's 1:55 a.m.
Early for us.
This is one of our earliest finishes.
This is quite early.
So we should celebrate by finishing here. And saying thank you very much for listening. It's been an interesting one. And we'll be getting together soon again to record some more podcasts.
Yeah.
We don't know what they'll be yet, but
I think we're planning some more Deep Space Nine as we go through the year.
Oh, yeah, that's a St. Patrick's Day special.
That's an idea that's been mooted.
Yeah.
A Mackie special, perhaps.
Oh, mooted.
Indeed. But who knows? We've always got probably about 1,000 ideas for podcast episodes.
Plus digressions.
Plus 1,000 digressions on those.
There's a lot of Star Trek out there, so there's always something else to talk about.
It feels... I can't picture a time where we'd ever run out of things to talk about regarding Star Trek.
That's never going to happen.
Yeah,
I'm always going to be talking Star Trek.
Definitely. Even if none of us are here anymore.
I'll be in the room on my own just shouting about Star Trek to myself. And I'll be happy.
And on that weird note, bye, listeners. Thank you for sticking with us.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah, bye.
Love you, bye.
Do you realise how incredible this is?
It's tradition.
You ever noticed her bum?
What?
That bum.
Oh, no!
Enough of this self-indulgence.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. If you want to get in touch with us, our website is www.lowerdecksradio.co.uk. You can reach us on the Twitters at 10backward, 10 being the number and backward being the word backward. We're also on Facebook at www.facebook.com/10backwardpodcast. You can also email us at crew@lowerdecksradio.co.uk. On a personal, individual level, my Twitter is at Will Turland. Rick Everson's Twitter is at TrekFanRick. And Rick Palmer's Twitter is at Mr. Imhotep.
Hi, thank you again for listening to the podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, you might consider supporting us. We have now have a Patreon where people can pledge small amounts to fund ongoing projects like keeping our website up to date, new audio equipment as we're going along, and potentially opportunities to expand our content. You can go look at this at patreon.com/lowerdecksradio. If you don't feel you can donate but would still like to support us, we would love it if you could subscribe to us on however get your podcasts through iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or we're on various third-party apps. And if you could leave us a review on any of those, that would be fantastic and would be very appreciative.
Thanks again for listening, and please tune in for more podcasts from the 10 Backward crew.
Let's make sure that history never forgets the name.
10 Backward?
Buddy, don't you think you should rephrase that?
10 Backward. 10 Backward.